van enojadas, están en bajar los pies cuando ven. I'm going to eat few roses. We need complete silence, please. Few roses from chapter 5 from the Epistle to the Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 16. What I say, St. Paul is speaking, walk by the Spirit, and Revelation, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. May the grace of God be with us all. Father Athanasius asked me to speak with you concerning the friendship among the young people between both sexes. What about the friendship between the young people? And I thought that in order to reach to a correct and constructive type of friendship between the two sexes and between young people at large, even among the same sex, I think we must define four words. The first is, what is love? And the second is, what is sex? The third is, what is marriage? And the fourth is, what is friendship? In order to reach to a constructive friendship, we must know the true definition and the Christian concept of these four things: love, sex, marriage, and then friendship. First of all, concerning love, what is love? I think many of you know this fact that we said many times before. Love in the Bible, the word love is mentioned in Greek in three other words. Each one of them has its own meaning, an own type of love. Now the first type of love and of translation of the word love is in Greek eros. Eros, E-R-O-S. And the word eros means the sensual type of love. It's the love of flesh, and it's the relation between two bodies, something very materialistic. This is the first type of love, is the sensual love, the eros. As you hear around you such experiences of fornication and adultery and different types of sexual relations, either between the two sexes or even the same sex. All this type of love, it's not love actually, it's lust. There is a big difference between love and lust. Because this is the first type of love, that's the sensual love. The love that is restricted to the senses and to the lust and the pleasure of bodies. The second type of love is called in Greek the philia. Philia. It's from the word philo, that's like or love. You know, philosophy. Yani philosophy. Philo, love or lover. Sophia, that's wisdom, yes. It's the love of wisdom. Therefore, he is a philosophy, a philosopher, that he is a lover of wisdom. Philosophia. Philopatir. Lover of his Tatir, father. Tatir, father. Philadelphia. Yes, what's the meaning of Philadelphia? Yes, the lover of his brother. Or the brethren love. Phila is the Phila. That's a type of human love. Affectionate love. It's not lusty. It's just human. This is the second type of love. Now the third type of love is called in Greek the agape. 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 يقول لك هنعمل ايه؟ بعد القداس نعمل ايه؟ Agape. It is the spiritual type of love. It is not sensual and not just human. It's spiritual. It's divine. It's consecrated love. Sacred, holy love. Agape. Therefore we have these three levels of love. The lusty sensual love and the affectionate human love and the spiritual divine love. Are you concentrating or tired? You follow? Therefore the type of lusty love is called in Greek Eros. And the affectionate human love is called philia. And the spiritual divine love is called agape. This is to start with. Therefore, not every love we say that it's equal to the other type. No. As you hear around you, they are practicing love. They are loving each other, and they mean they have love to each other. Sensual type of love. Okay, it's tough, but it's the first grade, the first level. We want to come upwardly towards the affectionate love that's not lusty, and then towards the spiritual love that is divine. that is the love that is consecrated and baptized, having the Holy Spirit to lead this type of love towards salvation of our souls and towards sanctification and holiness between each other. Now, this is the first point, that is love. What is love? Second point is, what is sex? When God created man and woman, they started two sexes. We call it opposite sex. It's not opposite, it's complementary. It's completing each other. Now, this difference in sex, physiologically, physically, this difference between man and woman is a tool for marriage. It is the tool, and the goal is marriage. Why God created man and woman? In order to get married, and through this marriage, the humankind is going to continue. Therefore, the goal of sex is marriage. No other goal. But now, the difference is the deviation that occurs when we deal with sex. Now, sex is not a goal by itself. It's a tool. When this tool becomes a goal, this is the first deviation. They start to practice sex as a goal by itself. This is very dangerous for sex itself, and for the humankind, and for the spiritual life of the person. Now, sex became a goal, and I read a book issued here in the States, and it was describing America as, and the society, as a sex-oriented society. Sex-oriented, that is, sex became a goal by itself. This is wrong. Sex is just a tool for a goal that is marriage. This is the first deviation, when the tool became a goal. The second deviation with sex, when it was materialized, substantialized, as they say, the psychologists say, substantialization of sex. Now, sex became body to body and not person to person. You follow? It makes much difference. Body to body, no affection and no true love. I'm not giving myself to the other partner. No, it's just a type of fun. A type of lust. And if you live in lust, you are going to be lost. A lust itself leads you to be lost, because it never gives satisfaction. Never. It's a fact. Not preaching. It's a fact. A scientific fact also. Whenever you start to live a lusty life, this lusty life can never be satisfactory, and you are dying all the time to feel thirst, and you want to have more and more lust, because no satisfaction in this type of sex. It's not a person-to-person relation, but a heart-to-heart relation, mind-to-mind relation, soul-to-soul relation. It's just body-to-body. This is the difference between adultery and marriage. Marriage, two persons are unified in Christ. But adultery and fornication, two bodies having some lust, and then they leave each other and they change each other. And as I told you before, I don't know if you remember that or not, I read in U.S. in today, but it increased in America among the teenagers, not because of homosexuality, no, heterosexuality, yes, all the effects, but because it's changing the partner. It's something logic, because it's lust, and lust never gives satisfaction, therefore they change themselves, they change the partners every now and then, and you may catch it in one of these things. The second deviation of sex is materialism. The first is the tool becoming a goal, and the second is sex becoming materialistic, just body-to-body relations. Now the third deviation of sex, as you know, is because of this, you know, impossibility of satisfaction. It's impossible to be satisfied by love. They start to shift from one type of experience to the other. And as you hear all the time, once I start to hear the radio, I hear about this homosexuality or something like that, because this deviation of sex from the ordinary, the normal sex to the abnormal sex is a third type of deviation. He is not satisfied after practicing sex with the other and the opposite sex, and now he starts to have many, they invent many types of sexual deviations and experiences, because they are not satisfied at all, and they are never going to be satisfied. Because sex being something materialistic can never satisfy the human being. One, the tool becoming a goal. Two, sex becoming materialistic. Three, other types of deviations and practicing. My third point is marriage. In our Americans, law, then I'm going to have 3 points, you know what? Eros, philia, agape. Eros means sensual love. Philia, family love. Agape, spiritual love. And then we shifted to the second point, the sex. And we said sex, when to be deviated, when it becomes the goal by itself, when it becomes materialistic, when it becomes deviated outside the normal experience. Now my third point is marriage. Marriage in Christianity fulfills, concentrate with me, 5 important goals. And it differs dramatically from other types of marriage, in any other religion, and from civil marriage at large. Because the Christian marriage is achieving 5 important goals. I'm going to mention very quickly and briefly. Number one, Christian marriage means unifying 2 partners through the Holy Spirit and through the agape, through spiritual love. Man and woman are going to be one in the Lord through Christian love. This is the first goal, it is agape. You can experience our spiritual love through marriage. You're going to be in love with your partner, but this love is not sensual, and even not only affectionate and friendly, it's spiritual, it's unification. You're going to be unified to your partner. You're going to be one. Both of you are going to be unified to the Holy Spirit and through the Christian love to become one in God. Therefore, the first goal is oneness through love. The second goal is cooperation. You are going to get married in order to have somebody with you, cooperating with you in our confrontations with life. Therefore, you are going to experience the cooperation. Three, this will help you in salvation. Being a human being, you are a human being, you have anything. You have a sexual desire. Natural, something natural and holy. But you are going to practice this sexual desire, and this instinct can be fulfilled and satisfied through marriage. You are not going to suffer this instinct. It is satisfied through the holy thing called marriage. If not, you are going to feel frustrated, or you are going to deviate and practice sins and commit. Our hope is that through the Christian marriage, the humankind will continue. This is something natural, not only the Christian, but other types of marriage, to have a continuity of the humankind. But the fifth and the last is that you are not going to have young kids as a fruit of marriage for yourself. No, you are going to consecrate them for the Lord. You are going to teach them Christianity and instruct them and build them spiritually. Therefore, you are adding to the number of saints. They are not ordinary people, they are divine people, divine kids. And these kids are going to be a good addition to the number of saints in heaven. هنا يكون عندك أولاد لكن أولادك هتخليهم أولاد المسيح. إذا عندك أولاد يبقوا يزودوا عدد القديسين المسيح. Do you remember these five goals, guys? The first goal of Christian marriage, oneness in the Christian love. Two, cooperation together in life. Three, salvation, because we're going to satisfy the instinct through a holy thing. Number four, continuity of the human kind. And number five, adding new things to the body of Christ, to the church. Then comes my last point, that's friendship. Friendship. You may say, then what about the friendship between boys and girls, between the two sexes? I say, abstain for friendship if it is fulfilling three conditions. One, it's a group friendship, not a couple friendship. I mean, as young people, both males and females are dealing with each other, loving each other, but in a type of spiritual love, that's the agape. Therefore, we can deal with each other, both sexes, but in a group way, in a general way, not specifying ourselves to a certain person. Because this couple type of love or friendship may lead us to lusty love. Therefore, the first condition is group. The second is holy. Our love must be holy, must not be sinful. And the third, it must be limited. If you start to have a type of unlimited friendship with somebody else, for sure this will lead you down and down to certain types of sins. These sins may be committed gradually on different levels, and then we're going to commit serious sins and serious mistakes that we may regret all our life afterwards because of these sins. I hear sometimes somebody may enter into friendship with somebody who is not Christian at all, even by name. he may be from another religion. And through this friendship, he may meet Christ forever, because he's going to be attached and committed to somebody that's non-Christian at all. Therefore, our friendship must be a group friendship, a holy friendship, a limited friendship. We must not exceed our limit. Whenever you are driving the car, you have a speed limit. Everything in life is limited. Sometimes we want to live a life without borders, but this is for sure not the true and constructive life. It may be destructive if you are going to walk without limits. If I'm driving a car without limitations, for sure I'm going to have an accident. But if I have limits, these limitations are going to be very constructive. And if I am fond of living without limitations, this type of very lax freedom will lead me to a life that is very loose and then very sad. These are the three points that we must put in mind when we are going to have friendship together as two sexes. One, it must be a group friendship. Two, it must be a holy friendship in Christ. Three, it must be a limited friendship. And these three borders of this triangle, we are going to lead a holy type of friendship between boys and girls, males and females, till you reach to the stage of the marriage procedure. You are going to select your partner, and then you are going to enter into the marriage procedure. Now you are a couple, and this couple will be married. They will be one in Christ. They are going to satisfy all their instincts, but in a holy way. You are going to have your friends from both sexes, but you are going to have your partner from the opposite one only. You are going to be very honest with him or with her, because you are committed to your partner in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to just ask you to once more repeat what we said, and then we will have an open discussion. You can check on the story of the people. How are you? Ali, what are you doing? Ali, Ali. لا ما كويس كده بس هو ما يتكوش خالص بس لا ما كويس بس هو على كان عالي شوية واحد يقول لنا بقى اللاف عندنا كام تايب اوف لاف نقعد نقول او يعني يس اول واحد ايه ايوس ذات از الثاني لا عشان الصوت الثاني ثريا فاتز ثاني لاب ثيرد از اجاتي فاتز جود وات اباوت سكس ثن اتس هيز نيك ثري واي وان وات بيكمز ذا جول تو Where it becomes materialistic, free, where it is deserved. Okay? What about the goals of Christian marriage? We have 5 points here. One, oneness in Christ. Two, cooperation. Three, salvation. Four, continuity of the human kind. Five, increasing the number of saints. What about the border of friendship between guys? Must be group, it must be holy, it must be limited. Thank you very much. You are summarizing in a very nice way. But let us have these points as, you know, picture, a survey for this relation between male and female. Anyone who wants to ask a question or have a comment may, yes, but I prefer you must speak. ممكن نتعود ان احنا نسأل اورالي. احنا مش حاضرين تراكيب يا خادي. اليوم ها؟ طب يلا
منشوف.
My senses feel
If somebody wants to ask orally or comment, it will be good. Now, I have a problem. Not myself. Telling my father of confession about my feelings and personal problems, this is not because of his personality, but because of mine, since I feel that even if I change him, I will still have this same problem. And you know, in confession, we always feel this trouble of how to tell my father some sensitive thing. Sometimes I feel ashamed to mention these mistakes or sins. But I want to tell you something very important. Number one is, it's something natural to have certain experiences in this age that each priest has passed it before him when he was a teenager. Therefore, it's something natural. We are not coming from heaven. We are human beings like you. Therefore, don't feel ashamed. Everybody passed through the circumstances of a teenager. Number two, yes, I am a priest, but also I confess. I have my confession father. Well, even if I am a priest, a bishop, even if I am a pope. Therefore, everybody has his father for confession. And number three, when you feel ashamed to say something to your father, this will help you for sure to abstain afterwards. It will give you more enthusiasm and power to have some self-control against this sinful thing. Therefore, something natural. Number two, everybody is sinful and needs a father for confession. And number three, this shame and this, you know, to feel that mentioning the sin is something very embarrassing, for sure this will help you to have enthusiasm not to commit these things once more. Even if you commit them, you are going to have enthusiasm and power for self-control. Therefore, move and go ahead with your father. And if you feel you are very ashamed, you can write your sins down on a piece of paper, and the father is going to read them, and he starts positively to respond with you concerning how to deal with these things and how to lead a righteous life after. But never, never hide your sins. They can be like an abscess, like God forbid, part of a cancer sin. Sin is like cancer. It starts in a local area and then it spreads day after day till it destroys the whole person. Therefore, don't be ashamed, please go ahead with your father. Another question. I have a group of friends, mostly from the other church. Mostly. Why not? We haven't heard, but okay. Mostly from the other church. But I feel attracted more towards a certain person of them because of this person's personality. Is that a sin? It's not a sin, it is the start of a sin. I mean, if you go ahead with this, you know, specific affection to a certain body, certain person from the opposite sex, this couple love, as we just mentioned, will lead you to affection. Affections may lead you to sinful love. It's a fact. It's not, as I told you, because it's not preaching. It's a fact of life. If you can start by affection, and then affections will lead you to a sensual type of love, and here is the same. Therefore, you're saying, what could I do so that I don't lose control of this feeling of attraction? The only thing is to elevate your type of love from being affectionate and lusty, probably, as a potential thing. Now, you are going to elevate your type of love to be a gift. Difficult, yes, but through the Lord, it's not difficult. You need to be married spiritually, through the Bible, prayers, and all communion, and through this spiritual nourishment, you are going to have self-control. And you are going to have a spiritual type of love to this person. Probably, maybe your partner afterwards, I don't know. But it needs prayers and needs some type of maturity. When you say things and you recite them, then day after day you want to know what God is preparing for you. So please nourish yourself spiritually, because through this nourishment you are going to lead a type of spiritual love and not of affection and not of sensual love. This concentration of specific person is the start of something, either coming down and down or coming up and up. If you are going to have contact with the Lord, you are going to lift up this type of love to be addressed. Yes.
How can you love somebody spiritually?
If you have in your heart originally the spiritual life that will produce spiritual love. The spiritual love is the fruit of a spiritual life inside. Therefore, if you nourish yourself spiritually, sure, you are going to have this spiritual type of love. It's a type of something very natural and very logical. If you have spiritual love, life, you are going to practice spiritual
love. But if you are not spiritual in your life, for sure, you are going to be like any human being around you. That's the effect of love. Even you are going downstairs to have that sense of love. Because keep in contact with the Lord. Keep in touch with Jesus, with Holy Communion, with the church life, with the Bible. Through this spiritual love and life, we are going to practice the proper side of relation. A question, when you enter into a relationship that leads to marriage, what are the limits of the relations from a physical point of view? If somebody is engaged, the lancer, if you are just in this stage of engagement, no physical relations are accepted. Because this will lead you to sensual love, to lusty love. You are not now married. You are just, I don't know if this marriage is going to take place or not. You are just, in a period of engagement before becoming married, of course. Who can guarantee? And also, how you are going to enter the life of marriage through the door of lust. This marriage may be different and may be good. Therefore, keep spiritual during the period of engagement. Keep spiritual. I know it's difficult, but through the Lord it can be easier. You are going, because you are always blessing yourself and your partner to the Lord, your love will be spiritual. And you are not going to commit physical relations and stuff. My second part of the question is there any secrets that you should keep from the other, or should there be perfect and complete communication of feeling, thoughts, and past occurrences? No. You must not mention your secrets to your partner or through your life. Because these secrets are originally between you and God and your Father for confession. But not to be mentioned to your partner. This may cause him or her to be suspicious. And you are trying to lead a life of quarrels all the time. So you mentioned that you loved such a person before coming here, and you are going to suffer very much. So please, these secrets are restricted to confession. He has no right, and she has no right to know these secrets. Otherwise you are going to enter into much trouble. So ask, is it permissible for a man to take confessions from a teenage girl and to counsel her on matters of relationship? Yes, it's permissible, but it's not preferred. Because a monk must try all the time to keep himself away from confession. And the second thing is that he has not much experience in sexual relations and something like that, and family problems. It's better to confess for this teenage young woman. To confess to a marriage priest, he has the experience of a family. Therefore, it's not people. It's okay concerning the formalities, and the church canons and laws. Yes, he can say
confession.
And hear confession. It's not, it's preferable not to hear the confessions of a girl to keep himself out of temptation, and also for the girl to have the experience of a married woman. So, what if your friendship to this another religion could bring this person more to our religion? Yes, but this can occur as a probability. And another probability is that this nice fellow may lead you outside this year. Because this relation may start clean, then may be sinful, and this sinful relation may lead you outside there. It's something gradual, there. Therefore, it's good to have somebody become a Christian, but it's bad if you are going to leave God. Therefore, it needs guidance from the confession father, and it needs honesty and prayer if this fellow wants to become Christian or not. What happens if someone falls in love before he or she is ready for marriage? What should that person do? As I told you before, this type of love can be affectionate, human, and even can be afterwards lost and sinful. Then what to do? Something only, as I said before, away and lift up your life to be a spiritual life. And that's all. If you are spiritual, your love will be spiritual. This means be committed to prayers, be committed to the Bible, be committed to confession, be committed to Holy Communion, be committed to the church meeting. You must be all the time nourishing your soul and your spirit, and through this spiritual intention, sure, you are going to have the spiritual power and the spiritual life. In what instances does the church permit a woman to have an abortion? Only for medical causes. Sometimes we have certain medical alarm. Therefore, the physician is the only one, as you do it.
What about an instance of rape?
Raping. Even through raping, there is some responsibility on both partners. But sometimes you are afraid because the baby will be black.
Church doesn't allow abortion,
erase system? That's why I said abortion means killing life. We cannot allow it. It's killing life. And in many cases, we, even in Egypt, a very traditional country, we can have this baby and somebody can adopt. And many are searching for these babies to be adopted. This is number one. Number two, my dear friends, raping has some introduction. Don't imagine the thing. When I read about Tyson, for example. Called Tyson? For sure, this young lady prepared for this raping. Why to be with him in a car for a long trip and then to enter to the office? This is an introduction for later. Therefore, I think she is responsible. In many cases, in most of the cases, she is responsible. And even if she is not responsible, we always say that abortion means killing. It's a tribulation, a suffering, but let us have this baby to be adopted afterwards. And as I have so many organizations and churches are ready to take care of this young woman till she gives birth to the child, and then they can take this baby to be adopted by certain people. I know myself, a friend in Australia, he has children. He's married and he has children, but he's fond of adopting young people. He adopted one of them and he asked me for another one. Therefore, he likes to adopt these, fatherless and motherless young babies. This is our Christian view. What are the steps in going from a group friendship to engagement? Should one go to the parents or take her or him aside? Now, neither this or that. It is, number one, you must be mature enough to take the decision. Maturity here is not only physical maturity. It is physical maturity, it is psychological maturity, it is spiritual maturity, it is financial. If you are mature in these four areas, physically, psychologically, spiritually, and financially, you can pray asking for a partner. You are going to be elevated from the level of lust to the level of love. And then you can choose your partner and start the marriage procedure. But that's before this type of maturity being complete. Otherwise, this marriage will not be mature, will be immature, and it may be broken. Concerning the friendship, you can raise up your phone. Concerning friendships,
go back to the previous question.
Yeah.
Let's say a person does have this maturity. You very
yes, I must
correct that.
Yes, you can pray. You can you can think, you can feel, you can ask spiritual guidance. These four things can help you in selecting the partner. One, you pray. Two, you think if this partner is suitable or not. Three, you feel. You must feel affection. You must feel, there must be some sort of spiritual love with this person. And the fourth, you must have the spiritual guidance of your father and sisters. So these four things, you're going to move in the right way, and you're going to start the marriage procedure saying, okay, I'm going to ask your family because I want to get married.
Should you inform the other partner or see if they're interested?
No, no, sure. You must inform her.
Before you ask her?
Yes, because probably she is engaged. She has something in her mind. Because there must be, I'm speaking to people living here, even in Egypt now, although this was very strange before. You must know that you are accepted and from the other partner, and then you are going to move and start the marriage procedure officially. Okay? Yeah.
And how do you know that you're mature enough?
How do you know?
That you're mature enough.
You are mature enough?
Yes.
It's not a type of knowledge. It's a type of, you know, it's age, it is experience, it's spirituality, it's spiritual guidance of the Father. Can I stop marriage procedure now, Father? He says, not yet. Literally, 1 or 2 years more, something like that. We go through, now, the growth, it's a type of growth. You are going to feel this through your spiritual graph, your psychological graph, physical, mental graph, financial, you know, all these are indicators. Now you finish your study, you can start a life of responsibility, a family life. You can be separated from your family, both you and the partner. When you are going to be married, you can start your new home. Because Maui Ali, the Hawaii is just gaining no money at all. He is a kid of Aldo. We have your mama. They are just children now, not mature children. Concerning friendship. Say we became friends. Someone who is Christian and Egyptian but is not very holy, should we try to help him or them, Father, before become closer to God instead of trying to move away from him? Isn't that what we are taught? If your friend is not very holy, it's the same as that friend who was not Christian. I mean, let this partner be among the group and detect your way cautious, because this not very holy partner may lead you to sin instead of yourself leading him to righteousness. Therefore, be very cautious, having the guidance of your spiritual partner. I must not say to you, no, leave him or leave her. I want to say to you, tell your father and look us more cautiously. In this way, because instead of having them inside, he may pull you outside of you. But if I tell that no one is listening to me and cares about me, but there is only one person from the opposite sex that does, is this an unlimited relationship? And if it is, how can I solve it? My dear friend, if you feel that nobody is listening to you, I'm sure you can have three types of friends that can listen to you. God, spiritual father, spiritual friends. But the problem here is that if you are going to enter into a type of affection with this opposite sex friend, and become a couple, I'm afraid that this may be the start, as I told you, from the level of just listening to having affections and then to sensual love. The thought also consciously moves and has the Lord listening to you and your Father listening to you and many other spiritual friends around you. But this may be the start of something wrong. Be cautious. How do you love the opposite sex in a spiritual way? Agape. As I told you, if you are leading a spiritual life, spiritual love is the fruit of a spiritual life. It's a must. A spiritual love is the fruit of a spiritual life. Are we allowed to date? No, you are allowed to eat this. You can eat this every day even. But dating,